Great to see everyone. Wonderful if you're visiting us for the first time this morning. My name is Rick. I'm one of the pastors and elders here at Jubilee Church, and you're very welcome. And you probably picked up, if you are visiting, that last weekend we were away at what was called West Point, which is the annual church for our network or family of churches. We all gather together down at Exeter, and there was about 4,000 of us, just under 4,000. The name of the family or the network is called Commission, and we had a great, great weekend. And I'm going to share a little bit about that now for you. But we had sunshine, didn't we? We had sunshine. It was great. We had the camping life. We had wonderful together time. We had the time to be able to sit and talk and find out how you're doing. Find out about other people. And that's a real personal benefit for me of West Point and also Waverley Woods. You get the time like you don't really in any other situation to find out. Found out that someone was born in Barbados. I had no idea. Conversations that happen over the time. And I also was struck just by how much fun we had, how much laughter there was. My kids absolutely love it. It's become a real highlight of the year for them and indeed for us. And the children's work is outstanding. And I have children in just about every age group possible, so I should know. So it really was good. And I've gathered feedback from across the whole of Jubilee. So if you're visiting, we've got a site, as we call it here in Farnham, but we also have a site out in Borden and a site in Aldershot. All one church, but in three different locations. So we had people from all the three locations come to West Point, and I've gathered feedback. And I'm going to just intermingle that with the message as I come along. But this was from one family. West Point 2017 was truly amazing. Listening to thousands of people worshiping in songs of praise was a taste of heaven on earth. My girls loved the group, kids groups, forming friendships, learning about God, and growing up over the weekend was great to see. Taking time out from the business of life and spending time with the church family was fantastic. Just being in the community was so encouraging. That's wonderful. The teaching and seminars really got me thinking and certainly challenged me. I would highly recommend going to West Point and putting it as a priority in the diary. There are so many blessings in that kind of environment for every age. Our family loved it. And so many people, Sean mentioned it before, of our people were serving. And that was wonderful to see. We had Elizabeth from Jubilee Borden serving in the ARC, which is the kids ministry for those kids with special needs. We had Becky Titheridge serving in the sixes and sevens. She's from Jubilee Aldershot. We had Laura, I think, where's Laura? In the threes? With Amelia, and just wonderful, our people serving all over. And then we had, of course, as Sean mentioned, we had Pete Hewlett running the After Hours Youth. And I remember catching up with T back at the campsite, and he bumped into Pete as he was walking around, and he was trying to have a conversation with Pete, but gave up quite quickly because every 5 seconds, a young person was running up to Pete, saying, "Hi, Pete," and telling him something. And T was like, "This is never going to happen." And Pete's this big, you know, he's a big personality. He's wonderful. He's like the Pied Piper of West Point. He's got his big beard. He just walks around, and kids run to him. And so we just had our people all over, and it was just wonderful. Another family said this: "West Point is one of the highlights of our family summer and always leaves us with many fond memories. Fantastic worship, powerful seminars, all shared with wonderful church family. What's not to love? Admittedly, great worship and teaching can be obtained from numerous sources throughout the year, but the incredible time, company, and laughter we share with so many other Jubileers is what makes West Point truly special to me." Someone said this: "It was their first time at West Point. It was a great oasis in a busy summer. It was a lovely mix of R&R, and the sunshine helped, and challenge and thought-provoking talks and seminars. There really was something from everyone, from extensive kids and youth sessions to fantastic worship to inspiring talks. I appreciated that all the talks were very real and that the Bible teaching was very biblical, but interpreted for modern living. I would expect that everyone's West Point was as specific to themselves, and ultimately, that is the magnificence of God, that he reaches us exactly where we are and provides what we need just to open ourselves to receive all that is on offer. West Point will be remembered for sunshine, fun, and seriously good teaching. You're getting a flavor. You're getting a feel of what came through. Well, we also had on the main stage, I think it was on the Friday night, all of the adults there, the main stage, we had Jubilee Aldershot launch. The video was up there for everyone to see. We had Sam Gubb, there he is, leading worship without a voice. We had the newly expanded Gubb team lead the fire pit worship one evening after the main session. So we had Joe and Phoebe and Sam, all their leading worship. It was wonderful, huge big bonfire. Everyone pours out after the main meeting and goes and worships around this fire. It was great. We had people come to West Point for the first time, and we had experienced West Pointers. We had newbie campers with inflatable tents. We had experienced campers with mobile rotary washing lines. I mean, I've never seen it before. I mean, we even had, and everyone I'm sure will remember this fondly who was there, we had the poo lorry come down at 6:30 a.m. every morning to wake us up, going right past our campsite. It was wonderful. You sort of woke up, and then you went back to sleep. You rolled over, you went back to sleep with that sense of, that wonderful sense of empty mobile toilets. I mean, that's good dreams for anyone right there, isn't it? It was a great weekend. And not only did we have all of that fun and that family time and that great weather, we also had some amazing times of worship, and we had some amazing messages and significant messages for us actually here at Jubilee. Significant for individuals as well. And I've had numerous people come and talk to me already about the prompting of the Holy Spirit to really respond to what was being said and what was the challenge given at West Point. One person said this: West Point was one of the highlights of the year for me, and this year did not disappoint. Each meeting was eagerly anticipated, and the presence of God was there throughout. I took so much away. The giving of the disciples continually in prayer in the book of Acts was an early emphasis in the main meetings, and prayer for me in the next term will be a real focus. Juliet's smiling, I can see. I got a real sense that I need to spend more time in prayer, intentionally and persistently seeking God's heart, laying hold of God's promises, waiting for his power to be released. How wonderful is that? God at work amongst us. And so I want to give us a little flavor of some of those messages that came through, because as I said, I think they're significant for us here at Jubilee. So the whole conference was based on the book of Acts, and Andrew Wilson began on Thursday night. Andrew's from another part of New Frontiers, excellent Bible teacher, apologist, wonderful speaker. He speaks very quickly, which seems to be common among apologists. Their brains sort of on a gear that most of us don't have. But he just brought in a wonderful message to us on the Thursday about both and Christianity. He reminded us of one of our core values, one of the very sort of foundation stones of what makes us a commissioned church, a New Frontiers church, of being a word and spirit church. Andrew gave this analogy of riding on a horse and needing to keep a true line on the horse so that we don't fall off. And he says what often happens is that when you lean too far on one way or the other way, you get a little unbalanced, and often you can fall off and get hurt. So if we place too much emphasis on the word, we can sometimes get hard, and we can lack grace. Equally, if we place too much emphasis and if we lean too much onto the one side of the horse, if you like, the spirit, we can run the danger of getting into some of the excesses we've seen in perhaps pockets of the church. But when we sit straight and true, when we put an equal emphasis on both the Word and the Spirit, we end up in the right place. The highest value on the Word and the highest value on the Spirit. Both Word and Spirit. And too often they played off each other. Too often it's he contrasted both and to either or. And he gave many examples from his early life as a Christian where he went into what was quite a legalistic church, very Bible focused, very much preached the Word. It's what the Word says, but weren't full of the Spirit. So he was encouraging us to be both Word and Spirit, to be reformed and charismatic, to be people of the Word and people of the Spirit. Amen. And that's who we are, isn't it? That's what we pursue. That's what we chase after. Then Terry Virgo came and spoke on Friday morning. And Terry spoke on prayer and challenged us with a question. Would you describe your church as a praying church? What a great question. A little bit uncomfortable at the same time. And Terry also read from Acts 4, and he reminded us that all authority has been given to Jesus. All authority. And we need to pray with that understanding. When earthly authority says no, and Terry gave us wonderful examples of when he was down in Brighton trying to get a big building in the centre of Brighton, and the council kept saying no, no, no. He was encouraging us to say, go to Jesus. He said, it's Jesus' problem to sort out. He's got all authority in heaven and on earth. And we come to him in prayer. And what really struck me about that is that sometimes we can get into the thinking that prayer, our prayer life, is about getting God interested in our mission. See, God wants us at Jubilee. He's given us prophetic word to double here at Jubilee. And sometimes we can think, we can get wrong thinking, a bit muddled. We can start to think, right, well, that's our mission. We have to do that. Now, we better pray a lot so we can get God interested in that thought. And he might come alongside and help us a little bit if we pray really hard. And we can get things round the wrong way. And Terry just so wonderfully reminded us that it's God's mission. And he's trying as much as possible to get us interested in his mission. And we come to him in prayer and we pray what he has promised to do. What he's promised to do is revealed in the Bible and revealed through the prophetic word. What God's promised, we pray along those lines. So he says, he is our redeemer. We pray he's our redeemer. He is our provider. We pray that he's our provider. He is our healer. We pray that he is our healer. He has revealed that in his word. He said through the prophetic that we're going to double. So we pray and we pray according to what he said. Because it's his mission and we get to play a part of that. How good is that?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sean and Juliet are interested. That's great. But there will be problems along the way, won't there? There will be opposition. The word's very clear about that. But faith sees above the problems. But Terry, again, he just kept it so real. And he said, don't get into a non-reality in this super spiritual ultra faith. There are no problems just walking along life. There's no problems just having a wonderful time. Said, no, there are problems. There will be opposition. But what faith does, it sees beyond the problem. It sees to what God is calling us to do. And he gets it. He stirs us up in that. We say, Lord, you promised. We pray that way. And his encouragement to us was that the battles are won in prayer. That we must pray and pray and pray. And we mustn't let the urgent or the pressing squeeze time out for prayer. We mustn't let the program squeeze time out for prayer. But we pray first and we win the battles there. Amen. Some more feedback. Well, apart from the weather, which was incredible, there was a whole lot to be thankful for from West Point. Highlight one for me was definitely Terry's reflection from Acts on prayer and his challenge to us whether the hallmark of the church is its prayer life. and his stories and testimonies of the power of prayer really spoke to me. This, coupled with Francis Chan's preach at New Day on having a holy reverence in coming before God, have really challenged me in how I approach God in prayer and my expectation of him to shape and form us through our prayer lives, individually and as a church. Also from the same preach, Terry preach was us being on God's mission. It's his mission, not ours. A good reminder. Wonderful. So we had both and Christianity. We had the power of prayer. And then we had Guy Miller, who Sean said heads up commission. And he spoke about the need for the hour is power. And he challenged us that we need the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And unless we have the Holy Spirit working through us, we're really just playing at church and superficial at best. And he spoke about power in our words, power in our worship, and power in our witness. We need the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of the Father. He says, I give you this, the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, who empowers us to live this very Christian life. Power in our words, power in our witness, power in our worship. And then we had Terry again on the Saturday night, and he spoke from Acts 4 again and 2 Corinthians 8. And Terry spoke on the grace to give. He started by saying that grace allows you to see from God's perspective and sets you free and into truth. And if we look at giving from our perspective, and if only that's the only perspective we look at, we can see giving and think about what it cost me. That it's a loss to me, perhaps. And there's an element of that in our sacrificial giving, isn't there? But if that's the only lens that we look through, if we only look through it from our perspective, we can miss the joy of giving. When we start to see from God's perspective, everything changes. We start to see the blessing our giving can be. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 begins like this. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up to rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond what they were able. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So this grace for giving, and Terry reminded, and I just remember his words so clearly, that unless we give ourselves to God first, unless we give ourselves to God first, every opportunity to give will be a challenge. It'll be a challenge that we might actually step away from. If we haven't given ourselves to him first, then we may well hold back. And I think the ultimate example of this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They held back, but they said they gave all. Let's give ourselves first and foremost to him this morning. Last year at West Point, the phrase was all in. We had that wonderful Phil Moore preach, all in. And that's what God wants us to be, all in for him, to give ourselves first to him. And Terry's challenge to us then and is this morning, have you given yourself first to him? And Terry gave this wonderful story of, he gave first an examples around how we can often sing worship songs. And we sing them, and we sing, our hands are up, and sing them, our hearts out. And then sometimes God takes us at our word, takes us at what we're singing. And Terry gave this story. He says that song, he started to sing it, I won't, but where it's that, I'll give you everything. You know that song? I'll give you everything. And then the ladies sing, I'll give... Okay. Yeah, no, I won't. No, no, thanks, Jordan. Thank you. I know. It would be a blessing to no one, but yeah, to the Lord, it would. To the Lord and Him alone. Yeah, I get that. So there was Terry, and they were singing, and in his church they had three gift days a year, and they were building up to a gift day, and he then told us about his Tessa, which anyone that's old enough in the room will remember. Tessa was a forerunner of the ISA. You could put money in, saving account, tax-free at the end of it. It was coming to maturity. Terry's singing there. They're building up the day of the gift day. Is getting closer and closer, and they're singing on just a couple, I think 1 week before he said, or it could have been just right there. And he's singing away, "I'll give you everything." And the Lord says, "Good, I'll have the Tessa." He says, "What?" And then, "I'll give you everything." "Good, I'll have the Tessa." It's maturing just in time for the gift. And he'd been saving 3-5 years. Being a responsible parent, he said he was going to put, you know, all of that stuff. "I'll give you everything." "Good, I'll have the Tessa." And as we sing and as we praise Him, God takes us at our word. And the scripture then goes on to say, "And by the will of God also to us." So they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. You see, it's the will of God that we give ourselves wholeheartedly, first to Him and then to each other. And if you're a part of Jubilee here this morning, it's the will of God that we give ourselves to first to God and then to each other, and to do it wholeheartedly. I loved what Terry had to say. I loved this bit. He says, God wants you to be seriously committed to giving away money. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Okay, we'll get there, I'm sure. Paul wanted us to be rounded, mature Christians, and a part of that is outrageous generosity. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up to rich generosity." What? Seriously? What's going on there? How does that go together? How does that go together? Severe trial, overflowing joy. Extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. These people pleaded to be a part of the blessing of giving and sharing into God's work. Let's be a people who plead for the privilege of sharing. Let's be a people who just become masters at giving away money. Let's be a people who see from God's perspective, get caught up, overflowing joy. And the best of it, there's no condemnation. As grace sets us free. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8, Paul says he wasn't commanding them. He says, "I don't do this in a command." But what he did want to do was inspire the Macedonian, or that church, the Corinthian church, by examples and testimonies of extreme generosity from the Macedonians. He wanted to stir up faith, and he wants us to have our faith stirred up. But there's no command. There's no condemnation. It is grace, and that sets us free from our fears, sets us free to see from God's perspective, and allows us to well up in rich generosity, regardless of our circumstances. Amen. So both and Christianity, the power of prayer, the need of the hour is power, and extreme generosity through grace. Some more feedback. All the main meeting speakers used Acts as a springboard to integrate the four streams of commission vision. Anyone know, little survey, does anyone know the four streams of commission vision mentioned? I'm going completely off script here. Send, unify, release, and equip. Right. So just to give you a context of what that means, the four streams of commission's vision. Andrew Wilson didn't disappoint when opening West Point, and Terry Virgo pulled nuggets of wisdom both in the evening sessions and the morning devotionals. Terry made you look back at often read passages and made you think anew. Guy spoke with authority and humor and oversaw the whole weekend. wonderful. And from, again, a first-timer at West Point. Following my visit to West Point, I have written my feedback. I love the way different people give feedback. It's hilarious. Some people like a couple of words, then you get the more formal person. Here we are. So, I've written my feedback. Seminars. Title. Helpful. Good. The seminars which I attended were fantastic, really insightful and practical. Special highlights were grace-filled discipleship and leadership, and the leadership course, which had a massive crowd, but really interactive, and the testimonies were inspiring. Also went to the truth in a post-truth world, which was about telling the truth in a world which has moved the truth goalpost, which is a hard and challenging subject. We're moving on. Fellowship, next title. Fellowship. This was my favorite part, and I got to chat to people about God and theology, which I love. Also had a chance to talk to people from other churches and from Jubilee I would never get the chance to normally. And then finally, like a good agenda, any other business, any other activities, title number three, we did the pub quiz and didn't do too badly, and we went to see the Cheers, which was a band, which was our wedding band. So an unexpected blessing right there. Then Guy Miller spoke on a Sunday night to close the conference. His message was, the call of God is on each one of us. And he read from Matthew 28:19, but I actually want to read from 18 to 20. And you can follow along right there. As I said, this is significant stuff for us at Jubilee. This was his keynote speech, if you like. Thing that he wrapped the whole conference up. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I will always be with you even to the end of the age. The call of God is on each one of us. To go and make disciples in the complete authority that Jesus has been given by the Father. He is always with us, even to the end of the age. He will never leave us. He will always be with us. The call of God is on all of us. And Guy spoke powerfully and said we need a sense of urgency. He was urging the churches, urging the 4,000 of us that were there and all of us that belong with commission, that we need a sense of urgency about that great commission. He encouraged us, now listen to this, he encouraged us to have such a love for Jesus and such a love for the lost that we give our lives for his mission. See, when we're talking about Jubilee doubling, we're not doing it so at the end of it we can say, we're much bigger now. That wouldn't be very inspiring, would it? We're doing it because we have such a love for Jesus and such a love for the lost that we want to give our own lives for his mission. We need to let that sink in. We give our lives for his mission. The call of God is on each one of us. And Guy spoke within that about the two battles we need to win. He picked up on these two. He said the first battle is for our minds. And interestingly, he said we need to win the first battle of our minds in order to win the second battle, which is the battle for mission. Guy encouraged us to read the word, live the word, and be transformed. And he said it this way, you do not drift into Christ-likeness. You do not fall into holiness. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and be disciplined. We need to read the word and live the word and have our minds transformed. The battle of the mind, he went on and he spoke about it being a battle against or for identity and a battle against addictions. He said our identity needs to be founded on God and his love for us, not the latest trend, not how much or how little money we earn, or our education, or any other superficial thing that's passing away. But rather our identity is found in Christ, in the love of the Father. Let us know how the Father looks down on us, how he thinks about us, and how he sees us. One preacher put it this way: I cannot afford to have a thought in my head that's not in his head. I cannot afford to have a thought in my head that's not in his head. Our identity: rescued, redeemed, forgiven, loved, valued, full of purpose, generous, passionate, joyful, compassionate, loving. Our identity is found in Christ in the love of the Father. And the battle for mission. We're just coming into the Alpha session, and as Sean said earlier, we want to run 3 Alphas across each side, and we want each one of them to be full. And the call of God is on each one of us. No matter how many PowerPoints, no matter how much web advertising, no matter how much Facebook advertising we can do, it's been proven over and over and over again. The best and most efficient and productive way of getting people to Alpha is a personal invite. Would you like to come along? Come and spend 10 weeks exploring Christianity. Have a meal. We'll watch a video, then we'll talk in small groups. It's coming up. It's coming up. The call of God is on each one of us. And we need to go and make disciples and disciples of all nations. And something that really personally blessed me at West Point this year was the emergence, if you like, of the Ethnos Church. We've taught about it for over the years here, of all the nations coming together. And we had churches coming from across, from India, from Spain, from all of Portugal, from all of these different areas, and we had worship. I was trying to think of all the languages. Definitely we had worship in Hindi, we had worship in Spanish, in Portuguese, and English. Was there anyone remember? But we had the guys from India there with their drums, and they were leading us in worship and bringing a different flavor, something of the deposit of God in that nation then comes through in our worship. We get caught up in it, all nations together. It's wonderful, really encouraging. I love just to see that. And we need to immerse ourselves in the lives of other people, seeing them grow and mature in Christ. We need to help each other in our walk with Jesus. We need to help each other to share this wonderful good news. So we need a sense of urgency about our call, the call of God on our lives. We need to have such a love for Jesus and for the lost that we give ourselves to his mission, to see the lost saved, planted, and discipled. The final bit of feedback: it was a wonderful opportunity to spend quality time with our church family, each other, and with God. You know, it's powerful what God does in the weekend, just a weekend. It's such a good time. We came home spiritually and emotionally refreshed and felt that God gave us clear guidance for what he was calling us to do in the year ahead, both at home and at church. As we shared fellowship with church friends, we felt ourselves prioritizing God again and getting perspective on life and its constant demands and stresses. For our children, the clubs and games were a fantastic way for them to learn about Jesus as well as spend time with other Christian children. The passion and enthusiasm of the West Point volunteers was amazing and enabled us as parents to escape for a few hours to the adult talks and worship. God was moving, guys. He's moving amongst us. We felt it this morning in our worship. He's come back. There's a swell growing. There's a tide that's coming in. He's calling us into all that he has for us in this coming year. So West Point 2017, the summary and significant messages for us: we will continue to be a Word and Spirit church. We'll put the highest value on the Word and the highest value on being in his presence and seeing the Spirit move amongst us. We will pray more. We've had seasons where we've prayed, and I believe this is God's provocation to us as a church, that we will pray more. We will win those battles in prayer first. The need of the hour is power. We will seek his empowering presence, and we'll see more power in our words and our worship and our witness. We will be a people of extreme generosity with our time, our talents, and our money. Whatever our circumstances, let us be marked with overflowing joy. Overflowing joy, and pleading with each other to give. Finally, the call of God is on you. We will have a renewed sense of urgency in our great commission. We will go and make disciples of all the nations. We will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We will immerse ourselves in the lives of other people. We will get alongside them. We will walk with them. And we'll see new believers get matured and walk and see them through those struggles that they will have. But then they'll walk through that and grow and develop. And then they'll start to disciple others and grow and mature. We will see many come to Christ. So now we're going to receive communion. Would you mind standing? Probably quite ready to stand by now. I want us to pray and prepare our hearts to receive communion together. I hope my prayer is that you've caught something of what was deposited at West Point. For each of us, whether we were there or not there, God spoke and we want to respond to that. We're going to receive communion together. I'm just going to pray, then Sean's going to come and lead that part for us. Lord, thank you for speaking to us and moving in the lives of many people over this last weekend. Lord, we want to have ears that are open and hearts that are open to hear what you're saying to us, Lord. So I pray, Holy Spirit, come now. Help each one of us to prepare our hearts. Help each one of us, to speak with you, to have some time with you now. And Lord, just encourage each and every person. Where is it that they are going to step out? What are you speaking to them? Holy Spirit, come now in your grace, in your power, in your joy. Come and minister to our hearts, Lord. And as we prepare ourselves to receive communion, I pray, speak to each one of us, Lord. Wrap us up. Catch us up in your vision for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure.